Good afternoon, Myrna.
Good afternoon. I tried something different. I tried to just let all the people be admitted. So I'm trying that trick. And
Kind
then
of makes sense.
I made you important people co-host.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Rod. How's it going?
Okay.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Supervisor Brown.
Hey, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Just peachy.
Yeah. I'm calling in from my office for the first time. We've almost always had these happen to have these on my telework days,
Oh, you know what? You're right. Good point. Your background's different. I didn't even notice. I should have noticed.
Oh, it's fine. Okay.
You know, when I come in the office like this, my cat can't join us.
Yeah. I'm usually interrupted by my dog getting mad about mail at least once in every meeting I've had at home. So, she's,
Right.
yeah.
I'm not seeing Supervisor Heidel.
Oh, I know he's around.
There, look at that.
Oh, there he is.
Hi there.
Greetings, everybody.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
So, Myrna, you had emailed that Charlene may be a little bit late. Can you confirm that and approximately how late do you think she may be?
I can confirm that she's a guest speaker. It was supposed to be from 1 to 2-ish. It's a USDA thing. So I would say we go ahead and get things started and she'll jump in as soon as she can.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
Very good. Let's see if we've got pretty much the same group of people here. I do not see Lori's here. She's here. So that's good. So looks like we have a pretty repetitive group of people that we've seen before.
We do. And also I might add that a couple have called in and wished to not be identified. I welcome them on that. And so if they want to speak up, they can, and maybe they'll identify themselves at that time, but I'm not sure. Thank you.
Okay, that's fine. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. We only have really two items on our agenda today, discussion regarding the possibility of a moratorium. And obviously there's a lot of questions that go along with that. I guess I'm gonna turn to Daniel, first of all. He must be here, Danny?
No, I'm here.
There you are. Yeah. I gotta look through the Zoom room and find you, but thank you. So just to keep everybody informed, you had sent me a copy of Monterey County's pilot program.
Yeah, and I think Myrna attached a one from Mendocino's County as well. So there's that one there.
Correct. So I think we have two pilot program examples that have been put together. One is the Monterey County is very short. It's like 3 pages. The one from Mendocino is a little bit longer, but I wanted to make sure that everybody knew that we had two, I'll call it templates to start out with, potential templates to work from. But I guess the question that I'd like to start with, has anything been done locally to try to put together a draft based upon those two draft templates or anything else? Or are we basically, is that our starting point at this 5 minutes?
That's our starting point. Sorry. Thank you.
All right. Because I know some people, Dan Hannig had said he would want to get involved and help with kind of drafting a ordinance for a pilot ordinance, not ordinance, but a pilot program proposal. And I guess I didn't get a chance to contact him, but I guess that didn't happen. So to your best knowledge, Myrna, there was no communication between any of the proponents for growing hemp and staff relative to starting to, customize what we have into a draft for El Dorado County. Is that correct?
You are correct.
Okay. So going back to the questions, and I also note that Charlene had provided the spreadsheet that she'd put together. I know Myrna posted it, so I'm hoping everybody had a chance to open that up and look at it. It describes the registration numbers, the parcels, who the cultivar is, whether or not there were complaints, et cetera. So we have that kind of as a backdrop to the discussion today. And I'd kind of like to go back and maybe start by revisiting the questions that were asked before. But before I do that, I'd just like to ask Supervisor Parlin if she has anything she would like to express at this point before we move into more of the details.
Well, I guess I can just start it off then. I really think that this is what, end of April? We've been at this for how many months? And I think what we're finding is that this industry is still in its infancy as far as the research, what kind of compatibility with cannabis farms, the wineries is still out. The wineries have not engaged in this conversation, which really concerns me, how they're being impacted. And we have a lot of people that really want to get focused on our cannabis industry, which the voters asked us to do. So I really think that at this late time in the year, we kind of told everybody it would be rough to get this going so quickly. And I think that's what's happened. And I really think that we should go back to the board. I guess we're going back on May 4th, which is next Tuesday. Is that correct? Yeah.
Yep.
And just let them know that this was a heavy lift there's still a lot of work to be done and that we should continue the ban until we have time to actually do a proper ordinance. That's what George Selu kind of said, you know, if you're going to do this, you need to get in front of it. I feel like we're behind. And it was said in some of our notes somewhere that Sonoma County opened the floodgates and then they had to pull back. And that's not the right way to do things. So I think we should go back to the board and say, continue the ban, focus on our cannabis grows, which that's huge, and take our time and do hemp correctly and learn from what other counties do. So that's where I'm at.
Okay, and I'll just say that I share some of your concerns, but I do think that if we can put together a pilot program that really makes sense to collect data, that that's still a worthwhile option to present to the Board of Supervisors on May 4th. But from what we've got right now, it's got to come together very quickly, and that doesn't seem like it's been happening over the last, what, week and a half, 2 weeks since we talked last. So it seems like you're correct that this is something that takes a long time to develop. I was hoping we could turn stuff quicker, but it doesn't seem to be advancing as fast as what I had hoped. So with that kind of as a prelude, let me mention the things that Myrna sent. This kind of a follow-up to our last discussion. And she notes here that we currently have 4 or 5 growers that would consider doing a pilot program this year. So I don't know exactly which 4 or 5 those are, but that was what Myrna had provided. It says, I think Charlene said in the sample one we posted had a limit of 5 for Mendocino County, and that is correct. They, when they ran their pilot program, limited it to 5 specific growers to kind of gather their data. And so, you know, that limited scope, so you don't get too far out of control. And they had RFPs and stuff in there, which we wouldn't need to do having had experience with existing growers from last year. So the key questions are, how many of the pre-existing owners would you allow if we had the program? And, you know, I think 5 is the right kind of range. We're not talking about 10 or 20 if we decide to go that direction. And certainly what I would suggest is we have to kind of screen the size of the acreage, because I know Lori had concerns with large grows versus small grows and the size and smell concentration of larger grows. So there's things we can talk about there. The second question that was posed is, would you allow the growers that had complaints that were actually verified last year? And if we're going to limit the grows to 5, I don't think that's practical. I think we need to move forward with the ones that didn't have complaints filed against them. And I think we all have to recognize there's 2 levels of complaints. There's a formal complaint, and then there's an unwritten complaint that oftentimes happens with any kind of a project, whether it's a development project or hemp grow or whatever. And so we have to also acknowledge that there are probably some silent voices out there that have not expressed their concerns or complaints because they don't want to engage and get into conflicts with people. They really have their opinion, but they're not necessarily going to openly express it. And again, we've had that a lot in some of our land use decisions that come up. So it's not surprising. And then the last thing is you know, any further discussion in terms of the timeliness of getting the pilot program fully defined and ready to present to the Board of Supervisors by May 4th, which, as Lori pointed out, is a very short time frame. So with that as a lead in, I'm going to open it up for any of the panelists, participants today who may want to ask questions at this point before we get into some more of the details. And I'm hoping Charlene will appear before we actually start weighing through this. So,
and Danny's got his hand up, so I think it'd be good to hear from him.
All right, Danny, please.
Yeah, I wanted kind of to follow up from last time. What I did do is do a little bit more research on how we would go about this. And if we were looking at a mid-May as having an effective date for the ordinance, one the kind of concern that I would have, so effectually what you'd have to be doing here is what we are amending the existing, we would be amending the existing moratorium to create an exception for the pilot program. That amendment is itself an ordinance. Generally speaking, ordinances take effect 30 days after the final passage. You know, otherwise, it has to be an urgency ordinance, which is a 4/5 vote of the board. And you have to make findings on why it's necessary for the immediate preservation of the public peace, health, or safety. So just to be that there is a kind of a practical issue then if we were trying to go the urgency ordinance route, is the higher vote key, and that those findings would need to be tailored on why it is necessary to have this, essentially this pilot project for this year. So,
right.
Yeah.
So it's a big bridge to cross to try to get there. And obviously it's going to be rushed if we try to do it. And I never like to rush things. So
yeah.
And from that perspective, I agree with Lori. If it isn't something we can do fairly efficiently, then we probably just need to step back and take more time and let it evolve for another year and see where we end up working on whatever the ordinance is. It has been suggested, I'll mention that with the similarity that we've learned with the offensive odor concerns and those kinds of things, that the hemp and the marijuana cultivars strains can be very similar in terms of odor. Obviously it depends on which particular strain or variety of hemp or marijuana you're growing. But I guess when we first entered this discussion, I wasn't aware of the significance of hemp odor being offensive to a lot of people. So that's kind of something that was a discovery. And I think Ray and some of his data he presented and stuff showed us that that is the case. And there's been any number of other articles that have been presented. So enough of my talking. I'm going to turn it over to anybody who would like to comment. So Bill, go ahead, Draper.
I would hope that in a study that there is a variety of sizes of parcels used so that we really get to see what some of the large scale impacts might be versus a real small grow.
Okay, and it may be a functional location. So I understand that perspective. Thank you, Bill. Rod, I guess you're next.
Thank you, good afternoon. I think there are, right here on this call, there are at least three folks that want to grow. Dan, Ruben, David Hardy. There may be some on the phone call. Other than all the government officials, there's one person here that has problems with cannabis. You know, the people that are growing, it's their livelihood, you know, they need money for agriculture. They need to have the information to support their CEQA existing conditions studies. So it's a benefit to try the pilot program. I think you can just cut out a lot of the Mendocino stuff, cut out the selection process, and as you said, the request for proposal, and I think you got an ordinance there. You know, we put a lot of little gotchas in a lot of our ordinances that I think are over regulation. So, I mean, we'd appreciate if our government could make it happen for the people here. So, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Rod. So, Ruben, you're next.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
I would love to be part of the pilot program, and it may not factor into the decision-making process, but I just want to remind you again that there's a lot of small farmers like myself that we put a tremendous amount of money into infrastructure last year, thinking that we were going to be able to continue growing. And I, as of yet, haven't recouped what I put into it, much less made a dollar yet. So again, I'm one of those, I'm not saying anything bad about those who had complaints against them. I'm just one of those that have in a fortunate area where, you know, it's ag. So I haven't had any complaints, and I would love to be part of the program and actually need it to be able to recoup some of the money that I put into it. So that's just what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm happy if I've written proposals before and done things. So if I'm happy to help, help write or do whatever you need.
All right, very good. So Dan, I think you're next up.
Yeah, thanks. I just want to speak up and say I'm looking forward to being part of the pilot program as well. I don't really see how we can move forward with confidence about El Dorado County without a pilot program. And I also, I'm a little unclear on what the objections are to letting 4 or 5 people in the entire county grow hemp. I just don't see that that could be such a negative impact on the county that we have to kill a budding industry during tough economic times. I just don't see the logic there. So maybe someone could speak to why 5 people growing hemp would be such a problem for the county. Thanks.
All right, thank you, Dan. Anyone else?
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Calling in as an anonymous caller, a business owner in the business park, the offensive odor definitely is a challenge when having customers come into your building thinking that you are partaking in an industry that is not, I guess, friendly, county friendly, in respects to our customers think that we're growing and we're doing something that we shouldn't be doing, unrelated to our business. It's definitely a challenge.
Thank you. Appreciate your comment. Lieutenant Cook, I think you're next up.
I think part of the question was why should a few growers, what kind of impacts the county? Well, fiscally, it's gonna cost us some money to do this. Aside from the stuff the sheriff's office will not be involved in, environmental impacts, the smell, the testing, this nasal ranger, which I don't think we even own, we'd have to purchase, perhaps part of fishing game with nearby streams and creeks. And I can't imagine what kind of money that might cost to do a real true test regarding items like, or issues like water. How much water do they use per acre? Is that something that we're going to be able to do? But from the sheriff's office standpoint, when we're testing, we're obviously testing to ensure there's not marijuana in there. They're not over 0.3. So for every test that we send to Enresco Laboratories in San Francisco, and the reason we use it is because they're qualified in the courts. Many of the law enforcement agencies use them. Per test is $500 a test. If it comes down to criminal matters, it has to go to the court. That's $2,000 for them to come testify in our courts. Now, to do any significant testing in a grow that size, let's say it's just a couple acres, you've got to pull 10, 20, 30 samples to be sure that you're doing proper sampling. I don't have the funding for that. Who's going to pay for that? I don't have the funding for there's a couple different test programs. We can use a swab test. They're like $30 a test. They are presumptive. So you got the test kits, then you have to send them out. There's another one that's will actually give you a THC level. That's like $20,000 for that test. We don't have the funding for that. So to do a true study, if you will, that's the idea of this test program, it's going to be costly for the county. So that would be my answer to why can't 4 or 5 growers do it? Well, because it's going to cost us a lot to do a true actual study.
Okay. And obviously the county's position was the people participating in the pilot program would have to compensate the county for all of those costs, because obviously we can't pass on an additional burden and we really can't use other funds that, we're not designated for this, because that would be a gift to a growing industry, I guess, a gift to public funds, so to speak. So, I see Charlene has joined us. So Charlene, can you enter the conversation at this point?
Sorry, I was running late on my other meeting. I kind of missed part of it, but I'm assuming we're looking at possible negatives. Is that what we're looking at right now?
Well, we looked at the possibility of up to 5 growers participating in a pilot program, and kind of, I think, modeling it after Mendocino counties without the RFPs and those kinds of things. We can strip this down And I also reviewed the Monterey. So there seems to be, you know, some basic information we could use to do this. But what Lieutenant Cook was just talking about is the concern with costs if we're truly going to run a study and measure data and turn it in. Because I know, for instance, Ray's equipment and his services had a specific cost associated with them in last year's grow. And so we don't want to end up with a situation that the costs are prohibitive for someone who would want to participate to bear that on top of everything else. So I think that's kind of the balancing point in that kind of a conversation. But have you, and because what Myrna indicated is there might be four or five, we've identified maybe three who have a high level of interest, I'll call it, David Hardy, Ruben, and Dan. Are you aware of anybody else who said, yeah, I want to be part of the program at this point, Charlene?
And Ruben maybe correct me, but I thought Tom Van Noord was still interested. Okay. Looks like he still is.
Yeah, okay. I think that's true.
Okay. All right.
Oh, and Mr. Russell, I think his leasee had some interest.
That's correct.
Okay, so it sounds like we have up to five people who would be interested in participating. So it really comes down to the question about bearing the cost of this stuff and the timeliness of being able to pull the modified ordinance together to allow a pilot program, because Danny gave us some indication of how long that's going to take, and the effectiveness is 30 days after. So it just seems like we're right up against the edge, and these things would have to start moving very quickly to have something to present back to the Board of Supervisors on May 4th. So I'm getting the opinion, and I think Lori also expressed it, that we just don't have the capabilities of getting there that quick with where we are at this 5 minutes. So, and Jennifer, you've got your hand raised too, so please go ahead and offer your ideas.
Yeah, I guess my concern is I feel like we actually did have a pilot program in the past with this. And I feel like our ag department failed us by not having any rules and regulations. And I can't tell you how many times I was told it's just corn. And to this day, like, I'm still finding black long strings of plastic that balloon like in our pastures. And we have cows, and we lease our property to for cattle ranchers out here. I just feel like there's so many things that need to be addressed before you guys start this again. And I mean, I might be mistaken, but I'm sure that I know that the property next door, they're going to release it to the Wingies next door. So that means it's going to be a different grower right here again without any of these things addressed. So I just really feel like you guys need to look at these problems first. And I might be the only one on here talking and voicing my concerns, but there's several neighbors here that are too scared to call in because they're worried about making people mad and making the hemp growers mad. And there's a big group of them. So I think you guys need to look at all of that. And we're residents here in this county. And I think you guys should look at this first before you restart and just go back into another pilot program that already pretty much failed.
Yeah, the only comment I would make is we didn't get a lot of measurements in the pilot program. We had the two fields, I guess, that the nasal ranger was used on, but it wasn't structured to be a pilot program from the standpoint of data gathering. It ended up being more of a complaint-based effort, and that obviously doesn't give you the numbers, the measurements that you'd like to have, but I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, you know, our house is several thousand feet from this marijuana grow, and we couldn't even open our windows over summer. So the one guy that spoke at the last ad hoc, I mean, I liked what he said. He said, you guys should really figure this out before you guys just jump back in. And we already have problems. Let's figure it out before we just jump back in.
Thank you. So Rod, you got your hand up?
Yes, certainly somebody that's littering. I mean, I'm sure there's some code enforcement action that should be taken. That's obviously a problem. As far as the odor, I there's some lack of circumspection where people that have livestock operations and livestock manure complain about odor. I just, it's, you know, that's it, there's something so subjective there that it's mind-boggling. You know, and then there's the hemp operation there on Carson Road, Smoky Ridge Ranch. I mean, there must have been 10,000 people drove by there. Folks hung out, you know, tasted wine, bought apples, enjoyed the whole environment around the lake, you know, 20 feet from hemp, and there are no complaints. You had 10,000, 50,000 people go by there. So I really think the impacts are not that significant, and you know, folks can learn to interact with their neighbors and be better neighbors, that's for sure. But you know, I, as somebody said, you know, we gain practice and experience. Just, you know, tossing it all away is tossing away an opportunity for our county. We need more opportunities, not less, in this county.
The question about the odors, you point out that if you look at the standard that is used in other industries, I think Rod mentioned feedlots and so forth. But if you look at other facilities, I mean, a meat rendering plant or a landfill or a transfer station or any of these facilities, once they're permitted, assuming you went through the proper zoning, every single one of them on occasion will have odors. It's just a given that if you're going to, you know, take in 100 tons of garbage a day at a facility or slaughter meat or that there's going to be some impact that I don't think that we can use a performance metric which says you can never have any odors under any circumstances from this facility. That standard is never used at, you know, when we permit other facilities. I think the standard needs to be that the odors and the inconveniences need to be rare, infrequent, and leave it at that. In other words, if you use best management practices and do all the things you're supposed to do, and after that, if Mother Nature still doesn't cooperate and you still get the occasional odor, I think that's just part of, you know, being a good neighbor, that once in a while you have to put up with, you know, what your neighbor's doing. But I don't think we can ever have a standard which says, you know, you can never have any odors anytime. I mean, every time my garbage man picks up the garbage, we have lingering odors lasting many minutes in front of our house. Well, that's the price we have to pay for having somebody pick up our garbage. Yeah, it stinks, but it's just short term. We learn to live with it. And I think that's the kind of, I think, cooperative approach I would suggest needs to happen instead of adversarial saying, you know, we you know, don't want this or do. Instead, I suggest that everybody get in the room and say, okay, here's what we can do. Here's what the science tells us. Here's the best we can do. And yes, from time to time, you are going to get odors. Yes, they're subjective, but that cuts both ways. Some people smell it, some people don't. And so I think, you know, let's just tone down the rhetoric a little bit. And I think it's still a workable way. And I agree with Rod that I think definitely there's room for these facilities to operate cooperatively, be good neighbors, use best management practices. Yes, we're still learning things, but I think it needs to be done, you know, cooperatively rather than, you know, saying, well, you know, this is the line in the sand, you better not cross it.
Thank you for your comments, Ray. Rod, did you have another comment? You still have your hand up. I'm assuming it was from before, right? Okay, very good. So with that discussion, it seems like we've covered item number one, which is have our discussion. The item two is future direction. So Lori, since Charlene has joined us, do you wanna kind of summarize where you are, and I'll summarize where I am, and then we'll see if we have a recommendation we can take back to the board on May 4th?
Sure. I really think that we need to bring back a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors that we just don't have enough time to do a thorough job on an ordinance. And I'm gonna go back and actually say, you know, last fall I visited a few farms and I advised those farmers to use their downtime this last winter to come up with some kind of an ordinance for me, a draft ordinance. And I've seen nothing. So, you know, we've been having these meetings trying to get this worked out. And I'm just going to say I'm a little disappointed that, you know, I thought I was giving some sound advice there, trying to be helpful, help you help yourselves. And I saw nothing. So in these meetings, we've been talking, and to me, it just seems like the jury is out. There's so much research to be done. We've actually seen where being a good neighbor has failed last year. So to tell people you need to be a good neighbor when we already know that doesn't work means that we need things in writing. We need ordinance that is strong and meaningful for the residents that have to live next to these things. So I think we need to go back to the board and say, we got ahead of ourselves. We need to back it up and do a good job on a meaningful ordinance and focus on getting cannabis done, because the voters told us to do that. So that's where I'm at.
Okay, and I, at this point, have to agree with you. I don't think we have enough time for a pilot program, but I do want to also express, I think, the fact that one of the things that's been considered is to just ban hemp growing. We know from Lieutenant Cook's perspective, and I think our sheriff is on as well, I see John D'Agostini, they are in favor of banning hemp growing because of a number of different concerns that they've expressed repeatedly. So I think that's the thing I'm looking to have the board really weigh on. Do we continue to try to develop an ordinance, or do we recognizing the potential conflicts between the cannabis grows and the hemp, that it's just too much for us, at least at this point in time, and that we should ban the hemp. And so that, I think that's the other alternative, but I'd like to present both alternatives to our Board of Supervisors as a whole. One being ban hemp and growing as the sheriff has recommended. And the second one being to continue to develop an ordinance, given the fact that we're gonna need to have more time. We're gonna need to take information, data inputs from other counties or municipalities that are doing this, understand maybe how Mendocino and Monterey County's pilot programs went. We're still in a learning environment. And if we learn a lot over the period of, I'm just gonna say the next 6 months, then maybe we'll have, or 9 months or whatever it is, maybe we'll have enough information then to consider bringing it back to the board again if they choose not to support the ban on hemp growing. So that's kind of where I'm coming from.
May I ask you a question, please? Danny, legal question. We currently have it's a moratorium on hemp growing right now, correct?
Yes.
How long is that for?
I forget the exact date in December. It's sometime in December. Using the authority we have in the land use section that we use, we have another year that we can extend that temporarily before you'd have to adopt a permanent ban. A permanent ban would have to go through the normal ordinance process, but we could extend it, or the board could extend it in December for one more year. And then it would be, after that point, we'd have to make it permanent or just let it lapse, so.
Okay, because I still see a timing issue to allow the industry to get some research done with compatibility with, you know, wineries, other crops. Just there's so many questions we kept having that are unanswered. And I kind of like the approach of let's let some of the other counties figure it out. And you know, remember when cannabis was hot and heavy and Calaveras did it so badly, and we learned not to follow what they did. And thank goodness we didn't, because they're in a world of hurt from how they approached it. So I'd like to let other counties figure out hemp, whether it should be with cannabis in the same county or not. I mean, even that jury's out with pollination. So if we were to say recommend doing a permanent ban for a few years, I mean, we can always recreate an ad hoc committee to look into whether or not we want to end a ban, correct?
And yeah, if the ban is adopted through the normal ordinance process and it's just perpetual, you could present it like any other ordinance and the board can study that. But said, but we still have 1 year left on top of December with our existing
I'm just not sure that even the temporary with the extension of 1 year is going to be long enough to get all these answers to these questions that we've had. So I'm kind of leaning toward a permanent ban, and then revisit it in a couple years to see if we want to pursue it. Maybe by then our cannabis industry will be, you know, starting to get licensed and some, you know, big grows going, and they're not going to want to have any of these little hemp farms that could potentially, you know, have cross pollination problems or something. So I'm just leaning there.
Sheriff D'Agostini, I see your image there. Would you like to comment at this point?
I just like to make a couple comments. Thank you. The direction from the board was to come back with a recommendation. I don't think going back to the board and having a whole nother argument and taking a half a day to discuss it when the information is before you in the ad hoc committee. That's the purpose of the committee, is to come back with a recommendation. Just a couple comments that I heard. Rod, God bless you. I know you're an advocate. But to try and compare a farm, hobby farm, livestock operation to Harris Ranch and the odors that come from something like a feedlot is ridiculous, and you know that. This is not Harris Ranch. They have a few head of livestock. And Supervisor Heidel, there's an elephant in the room that I just got to bring up, and that is Supervisor Parlin has this issue in her district. You're not going to have any of this in your district.
I understand.
And I think that it would have been more appropriate to have a District 2 or maybe even a District 3 supervisor in this committee. I agree with what Supervisor Parlin is saying. We've come far enough. You've heard everything. It's complicated. It's not as easy as Mr. Miller would like it to be, and everybody, some of the folks that want to be involved would like it to be. I'm sorry that they put all their eggs in one basket and that they put that much infrastructure in. I feel for them, but this is an untested industry. We're not there yet. We have the cannabis program that we're just now getting started on. We finally arrived and are able to do the sign-offs on these licenses once we get the backgrounds done. And looks like I just got noticed yesterday morning that DOJ is very close to giving us okay so that we can just do them out right here. I agree. I think it's just institute the ban on hemp until we get cannabis under our belt, figure out how we're going to deal with it, and then move forward with that, and then move into the hemp industry. The worry is we're getting left behind on an industry that has so much valuable income to the county. I'm sorry, I don't see that. We have four or five folks that want to be in a pilot program right now. That's not a huge income revenue stream for the county. Maybe in the future it will be, but dealing with the issues that Lieutenant Cook presented at a couple meetings prior to the crime that follows it, that we know that we will be dealing with due to the misidentification of hemp as cannabis. I think that we just throw the ban in place now until we get cannabis under our belt and move forward with it that way. Thank you.
Thank you, Sheriff. Any final comments? Okay, so Lori, you and I probably need to come up with a recommendation. I'm not adverse to what the sheriff is recommending and going with the ban. So if that's really your strong opinion, and it seems like it is, then I will support that, and we can take that back to the board and, you know, discuss the amount of effort we've put into this. It's disappointing we put in this all this effort and then we go to a ban, but okay. And if that's the direction we need to go for the time being, you know, I recognize and accept that. So that's not an issue. So if that's kind of the final word, that's what I will support. We will go back. So I guess the bottom line is, Lori, do you want your office to prepare the recommendation? Should we have Charlene participate in the recommendation? Do you have any preferences? Because sometimes this comes from obviously right. Ad hoc committee, and sometimes it comes from staff, and that's based upon what we went through with the cannabis.
Right.
Answer the sheriff's question. That's the only reason I participated in this, because I had continuity with the cannabis ordinance, which when Mike left, and I was kind of held, I basically said I'm willing to do it when nobody else was. So working with right. two, but anyway.
So my thinking is we can have that conversation about the administration and you know, how to put it on the agenda, because I think it has to come from, and the ad hoc committee, my understanding, is actually me and you. So it's coming from us anyway. So we can work on that outside of this meeting.
Okay. All right. But I just want to make it clear to people which direction we were going to recommend. And obviously the board can take a different perspective on it. That's what the recommendation prompts, is a discussion at the full board level. So Russell, you have a comment?
Yes. If my mic is on for you to hear.
Yes.
Just wanted to thank you for doing it this way. That's quite efficient. And if it works out that Mr. Lavitt can go forward with his as one of the five, that would be wonderful. So thank you again. And we'll look forward to seeing how you guys go from here.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Good day.
Well, I just want to thank everyone for their participation in this. It's way more complex than I had hoped. I really wanted to get something in place, but every time it seems like we had a discussion, a new question came up, and that just doesn't make me feel confident in trying to rush through something. And like I said, I feel like we have our hands full trying to get cannabis going, and the voters directed us to do that. So I think we just should stick with that direction.
All right, very good. So I too would like to thank everybody for their participation. I know y'all put a lot of time into it, and I guess I'll just say I think we gave it our best shot, but at this point in time, there just isn't substantial data to say this is a go and we can proceed with it. So sorry for the kind of the false start we had last season, but I think, you know, ultimately the decision lies with the full board, and that will come on May 4th. So again, thank you all.
Good day.
All right. See ya. Thank you. Myrna, thank you for your help, and also Charlene.
Thank you.
Thank you.